Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen-Coop.
Hello and welcome to the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen-Coop, and I'm so grateful to have you tuning in today for episode number 22 of this podcast. In the last episode, I talked about how does permaculture scale? How could it potentially work on a space as large as 20,000 acres? And that was a temporary step back from the usual what can you do at home to what can you do at home if you have a whole lot of money or a whole lot of resources. Not because most of you have that money or those resources, but because sometimes thinking about how something can work on a large scale can help us think more about how these solutions can apply to us. In this episode, I'm going to talk about a strategy for building a home that uses way less money and way less energy than conventional building styles. But before I get into that, I just want to thank everybody who has purchased the book. I appreciate all of the support that we've received and all of the notes of encouragement and all of the enthusiasm that has surrounded this project kind of from the get-go. I appreciate all of that. If you haven't bought the book and you're interested, whether that's a physical book, the ebook, or the audiobook, feel free to check that out at buildingabetterworldbook.com. Okay, so in this episode, I want to talk about a method for building a home that requires very little resources and is extremely healthy to live in and beneficial for the environment as well. And I want to start off by saying this is not for the faint of heart. This is not the kind of thing that every person is going to do, building this kind of home. So just keep that in mind. Maybe it's a fun idea to think about or to tell a friend about, but maybe it's not for you. Maybe it is. So if you want to continue on, here we go. This design is specifically designed to work extremely well on a sloped woodland, which is where my co-author Paul Wheaton is from, and this design is Paul's design, which I'll be sharing here in this podcast. And this design works extremely well on a sloped woodland, whereas a lot of other building techniques, even ones that would be generally considered sustainable building techniques, often aren't designed to work well on a sloped woodland or require a lot of imported materials in order to make that happen. So in our book, we set some design criteria forward for what we would like to see in a natural building design. And so I'll read the list here for you. More than half of the materials come from the property. 1/100th the toxicity of a conventional home. A structure that will last at least 50 years. Heating efficiency better than passive solar. Easy for a first-time builder to build. Materials plus labor equals less than a conventional home. And a beautiful, luxuriant space to live in. So, those are the criteria. And starting off the discussion by talking about building materials, in a sloped woodland, you're going to have a lot of wood. Specifically, there's going to be often a lot of trees that need thinning in order to prevent a forest fire. And in a lot of areas, these trees are cut down and burned during the winter, just out in the open, and all of that carbon goes up into the atmosphere. So instead of just burning that stuff every year so that we don't have larger forest fires, we could actually use that stuff to build a home. And then that allows us to sequester that carbon throughout the year. So prevent a forest fire and get free building materials. Sweet. So this building design is one that is based off of a lot of work that was done by a brilliant man by the name of Mike Ehler. And Mike wrote some really amazing books about this kind of thing, but the gist of what we're taking away from that right now is it is a pole structure made of wood with a green roof. And there's a way to design it that drastically reduces the amount of money and problems that can occur. And it involves one simple rule That is really hard to make sure that you actually do correctly, but the one simple rule is that every drop of rain must have a complete downhill soil path and must never encounter the edge of a roof. If it does encounter the edge of a roof, then you're going to have problems. But if you can design it such that it never encounters the edge of a roof and all of the water is draining downhill without going into the house, then you can make some very neat designs that work very well and are rather easy to build. Now, I would love to explain in great detail how this design looks and how it works, but I think that a podcast maybe isn't my greatest medium in order to do that. There's lots of drawings and images that we have included in the book that help to explain these concepts, and there's also a lot of information and images on Paul's websites, permies.com and richsoil.com, and on those websites you can see a lot more discussion and images that can help you to understand these concepts better. But basically, the main idea on how you're going to build this structure is that you're going to have it pointing up the hill rather than the usual down the hill that you would have with this sort of home. And by doing so, you put a ditch around the uphill side, and that allows you to drain all of the water from the uphill side of the house away, and it keeps the inside of the home very dry. And since you still want to have a downhill view, because it's probably a pretty nice view, you can put a gable roof on the end. And again, this is the kind of thing you're probably going to want to go take a look at the pictures, but I'm just trying to give you a general idea of how it could look. And the inside of the home is going to look a lot like the inside of a log cabin. But the outside is going to look like a structure with a green roof. From satellite, you might not even be able to see that there is a structure there, which is kind of cool. It'll just look like a garden. You can garden on top of this house, which is pretty cool, I think. And one of the things that I really like about this design is that the materials cost is tiny. If you're getting the wood from your land, basically the potentially some of the only costs involved for the building itself are that you're going to have a liner that you're using to keep the water from coming into the house. And then I'll talk a little bit more about another liner that you're going to use to help insulate the place. But besides that, very little materials besides wood, which is on a sloped woodland, available readily on the land. And obviously, if you're going to include plumbing, then you're going to need some of that, and electrical, you're going to need some of that. But for the building itself, it's very cheap. And a large part of that is because if you look at a conventional home, about a third of the cost goes into the foundation, and about a third of the cost goes into the roof. And with the foundation of a pole structure that is used in this design, it basically the foundation is some trees, and you have trees already. And instead of having a really fancy roof, it is a fancy roof, I suppose, but it's one that uses very little materials except for wood, which once again you already have on site. And so that drastically reduces the cost of the building right there. You might need to rent some equipment, and you might need to spend some time working on the project in order to complete it, but the actual materials cost is going to be way less than a conventional building. And by building the green roof in the style that Mike Ehler suggests, then you can build it for like a tenth of the cost of a conventional green roof, which usually involves a whole lot of problems. So Mike's design that was incorporated into this design really helps reduce the cost. And all around, there's a potential for a house that costs way less than a conventional building, and one that is quite beautiful. The labor to build one of these is designed and hopefully in a way that somebody can learn how to build one relatively easily. Building is never simple, but the hope is that this is a design that a new builder could implement. And as more and more of these start to be built, I think we'll start to find better and better ways to optimize the process and drastically reduce the labor costs or labor time, such that it could be a a really cheap experience to build, even with labor costs included. The next thing I want to talk about is that this design is set up in a way to make use of what's called annualized thermal inertia. And annualized thermal inertia is a concept put forward by John Haight in his book Passive Annual Heat Storage. He calls it passive annual heat storage. We use the word annualized thermal inertia. Lots of different ways of calling it. But basically, the idea is that you're going to have a giant mass, which in this case is going to be mostly dirt. And in the summer, you're going to use the heat from the sun that's coming into the house to store that heat in this ginormous thermal mass such that it doesn't come out until 6 months later in the winter. And by using this technique, it's possible to potentially not need to heat your home at all, even in a cold climate. And that's because, you know, you're using all of this heat from the summer, storing it inside, and then you're going to release it throughout the winter. And the way that you're going to have this thermal mass is that you're going to have your pole structure, which you're going to build for starters, and then you're going to put a liner on top of that to keep the pole structure from getting wet at all. And then you're going to have a thick layer of dirt, and you're going to keep that dirt dry because dry dirt is like 6 times more insulative than wet dirt. And so you're going to use dirt as your insulator. And then you're going to put another liner on top of that layer. And so you're going to have this layer of dry dirt that can't get wet, and that is going to act as insulation and also as a giant thermal mass for your building. And once again, by allowing a lot of the heat to come in through the summer, through a bunch of windows, you can capture this solar energy, and the way that the thermodynamics works out, it takes 6 months for, if you have the right proportions and right sizing, takes 6 months for that heat to come back out and into the house. And so you're going to have a place that in the summer is like automatically cooled, and in the winter is automatically heated without running any pumps or any fans or anything like that. So I think that this is a remarkable idea. Paul has a couple prototype Wofatis that have been built on his land, and they're being tested to see how effective this is and to fine-tune the building strategies for the future to continue improving on this design. But I thought that it was interesting enough to share with you that you might consider trying to take such an approach if you're looking to build your own off-grid home. And if you have a sloped woodland to build on, this is something that might be up your alley, depending on what's allowed in your area and what your comfort levels are, of course. And before we continue, I just want to leave you with, Paul has named this design, and he has called it Wofati, and Wofati is an acronym, and rather than telling you the strict definition of Wofati, I'm going to include an excerpt from the audiobook here. That goes specifically into exactly what we require of this word. So, without further ado, here is a short piece from the audiobook to Building a Better World in Your Backyard.
The strict definition of Wofati: woodland, Ehler-inspired, freaky cheap, annualized thermal inertia. So, W-O-F-A-T-I. But even though it is an acronym, I prefer Wofati. The joys of making stuff up. Since I made up the word, I get to define what it means. If anyone is going to call their structure a Wofati, I hereby require it to meet the following criteria. 1. Every drop of rain has a complete downhill soil path and never encounters a roof edge. 2. There are two layers of membrane, the lower layer, which hugs the structure, and the upper layer, which defines the thermal mass that surrounds the structure. 3. The uphill side has an open trench to move water around the structure. 4. The uphill side has a roof that extends at least 5 feet beyond the exterior wall. 5. There are at least 8 inches of dirt between the two layers of membrane. there are at least 16 inches of dirt on the top layer of membrane. 6. The inner pole structure is made of logs. 7. No treated wood is used in any of the structure. Further, if anyone is going to call their structure a Wafati house, I hereby require it to meet the following additional criteria. A. At least 35% of the uphill wall is glass or some other material that allows light to pass through. B. There is a large gable roof on the downhill side with 35% or more glass or some other material that allows light to pass through. C. The house is not underground. This is an above-ground pole structure with a thick earthen roof.
All right, so that's just a quick peek for you into a very new idea into how we can build a home that uses far less unnatural materials and a home that is more integrated with nature. You can garden on the roof. I mean, how much more integrated with nature can you get than that? And you can drastically reduce the footprint of your toxicity just by using natural materials, especially natural materials that need to be removed anyways, lest a forest fire be started. And in addition, the really cool idea of building a house that doesn't require heat, I think is just the coolest thing. So I hope that you found this interesting. At the very least, put some ideas into your head. And once again, I can only go into it so much, and there's so much more on this in the book. We have excellent drawings and illustrations that help to illustrate it, and we explain the design more and some of the reasons behind it. And so if you want to check that out, feel free to take a look at the book, and hopefully you can learn a little bit more there. Or you can also look at permies.com or richsoil.com, where Paul has written more about this wielding design. So that's all for this episode. In the next episode, we are going to explore an aspect of luxuriant living that is entirely unnecessary, but really awesome. Or at least I think it's really awesome. And that is natural swimming pools and how we can build swimming pools and enjoy the luxury of having a swimming pool, but in a way that is much more natural, uses much less energy and way less chemicals, and is overall a big benefit to the ecosystem as a whole. So I hope you'll join me for that. That's all for today. I hope you have a great day. Take care, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.